Exodus chapter 14.
This is where we're going to start this morning, and we're going to
end up back in the New Testament and looking at several scriptures. But I want to preach to you this morning about walking in the Spirit. It was our church theme, actually, in 2014, about learning how to kneel, to sit, to stand, to walk, and to run. And I intended to preach on all those things, about kneeling, sitting, standing, walking, running. But we never accomplished that last year completely, and so entered into this year. For most of the year, many of the messages I've preached have involved about learning how to walk. And we've talked about different things in the Bible that sometimes we're emphasized, Mary, different themes. But we, from studying certain words, we developed that. And over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to preach some more messages about walking, learning how to walk, and different things. Today I want to preach to you about walking in the Spirit. Another week about we're going to talk about walking in paths of suffering. So again, we'll go some different directions over these next few weeks with different themes, if you will. And then finally, when we get to October after Thanksgiving and so on, November, we're going to talk about learning how to run. And we'll finish out the year that way. And I just encourage you to be faithful to church. The message that I'm going to preach in our afternoon service is kind of spilled over from my studying for this message and this theme, and so it'll go with it in some ways, but it was just, again, things that I learned as studying for this message here this morning. Exodus chapter 14, and will you stand together with me, please? Let's stand and read together. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 30. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 30. The Bible says there, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank You for the Bible and the truth that it teaches us. Lord, we believe we have something very solid to build our lives upon here. We have a great book that teaches us of Your great redemption plan, salvation plan. And Father, help us to cherish this book, to love it, to read it, and to live according to it in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Again, I want to preach to you about walking in the Spirit this morning. Walking in the Spirit. Exodus chapter 14 relates to us the story of God's deliverance of His people out of bondage in Egypt. God's people, as most of you would know, had been slaves in Egypt, but God had not delivered them. God had not delivered them at a certain point, delivered them out of Egypt, but eventually He did. He brought them out. We read of the story here where the Egyptian armies were pursuing, and so they had an enemy behind. They had the Red Sea as a big obstacle in front of them. How are they going to cross that? And some of the people even begin to wonder, "Moses, why did You bring us out here to die in the wilderness? What's going to happen to us now?" And of course, God made a way. God made a way, and God parted the Red Sea. God brought them across the dry land, parting the waters. And then He brought the waters back upon the Egyptian armies, and God delivered His people. Exodus is a book of redemption. Exodus is a book of redemption. If you, one of the great themes of Exodus, God bringing them out, God allowing them to exit out of Egypt. It's a theme of redemption. It teaches us first that redemption is wholly and completely of God. Redemption is wholly and completely of God. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. We're going to look at a number of verses here together in the message. Exodus 3 verse 7 and 8. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of My people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites." And then, back in Exodus 14, back in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13. Exodus chapter 14 verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Listen, God's people in Egypt, they had no hope without God. They were under their taskmasters. They were servants to them. They had no hope except for God delivering them. Redemption is completely of God. For us to be redeemed in our lives and to be redeemed from sin, it's completely of God. There's no work that we can do to redeem ourselves. There's no, the book of Psalms would teach us in other places, there's no money that we can pay to redeem our souls or to save our souls. We can only be redeemed or saved by God. Redemption is wholly and completely of God. The second thought is this: redemption is through a person. Redemption is through a person. Look what it says back in Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 2. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2. "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now, who's it talking about there? It's talking about Moses. It's talking about Moses. Moses was the one that God raised up to help deliver the people out of Egypt. You know, Egypt and so on, it's always been a picture, God's deliverance of them, it's always been a picture of how God delivers us out of sin. And God can deliver us out of the slavery and bondage to sin. And of course, who is that person that we're redeemed of? You thought of him. You thought of him already before, I'm sure, when I said redemption is through a person. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption is through that person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who God sent His only begotten Son down to earth. He was born of a virgin. And God sent to us a deliverer. God sent to us a redeemer. And that person is Jesus Christ. Here's the third thought quickly. Redemption is by blood. Redemption is by blood. Exodus chapter 12 teaches us of the Passover lamb. One, you would remember, many of you, the plagues that occurred in Egypt that God sent as He wanted to deliver His people. And the last plague being the Passover, the death angel would pass over. And what God had asked the people to do was to kill a Passover lamb. And that blood would be sprinkled upon the doorposts of those houses. And for those doorposts that were sprinkled with the blood, the death angel would pass over. And of course, that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had to be killed, and His blood had to be shed to purchase our redemption. Without remission of sin, without shedding the blood, there's no remission of sin, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. The blood of Christ was so necessary to purchase our redemption and to redeem us and to save us from our sin. We said this: redemption is wholly and completely of God. Redemption is through a person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption is by blood. Fourthly, redemption is by power. Redemption is by power. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 6. "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment." I love God's stretched out arm. He's got a powerful arm. He's got muscles beyond anybody's got muscles. God is all powerful. He's all powerful. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 14. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 14. "And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this, that thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage." Redemption is by power. Not our power, God's power. God's power. So Exodus is a book of redemption. Teaches us how redemption is of God. Redemption is through the person. Deliverance came by Moses, but we know deliverance from our sins comes through the person of Jesus Christ. Redemption is by blood, and redemption is by power. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that redeems the believer from the guilt and the penalty of sin. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 teaches us that. It's the blood of Christ that redeems us from the guilt and the penalty of sin. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Hey, it's something to be excited about. To thank the Lord today for your redemption and your salvation. And it's not of ourselves. It's of the power of God. It's of Christ. It's because of His shed blood. What a wonderful thing. And when with all that Christ did for us, He delivers us from the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin. But we want to talk about this. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will deliver us from the dominion of sin in our life. Sin having dominion or control over us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 3. And you hath He quickened. That word quickened means made alive. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, our way of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He says that was your past. That's your lifestyle. That's who we were and who we are, and that what our nature was as a children of wrath rather than a children of light and so on. But it's the Spirit of God that delivers us. You hath He quickened. We're born again by the Spirit of God. We're made alive. We're quickened through the Spirit of God. And He can not only deliver us from the penalty of sin, which is death and hell and the lake of fire, as the Bible would teach us, but He can also deliver us from the dominion of sin in our lives. After we get saved, God no longer wants sin to have dominion in our lives. Now, will sin always be present? Will we always be faced with temptation? Will we always be enticed? We sure will. And we will never become sinless, but we need to sin less. You understand that? We can be delivered from the dominion of sin or the control of sin in our lives. God does not want us to walk after the flesh or to fulfill the lust of the flesh or to do the works of the flesh. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 3, if you would. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 23. And of course, Romans is a great book of the New Testament that teaches us so much doctrine about our salvation. Romans 3 and verse 24. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. When we study the book of Romans, chapters 3 to 5 remind us that our redemption has been purchased by the blood of Christ. Our redemption has been purchased by the blood of Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That word means really the go-between and so on, but propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So remember this, our redemption was purchased by the blood of Christ. And we're delivered from the guilt and the penalty of sin. We have remission of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then if we go on to Romans chapter 6 to 8, it teaches us that the way to be delivered from the dominion of sin is through the Holy Spirit. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell us. The Bible says in Corinthians, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have in you. We become a temple. We become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. He lives within us. Let me make a few statements this morning and try to help us in this area of walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. You got your Bible? Let's look at these verses together. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. We can be delivered from dominion of sin because of the power of the Spirit of God that lives within us. Romans chapter 6. Point number 1 this morning I want to make is this. God's grace wants to produce a new lifestyle. God's grace wants to produce a new lifestyle. Now, some people get it all wrong because they think, well, under grace, I can live however I want to live. Boy, that's sure not what the Bible teaches. That sounds good because you know what? To think, oh, I can have salvation and I can sort of have a part of religion, but through grace, I just live however I want. I'm under liberty. It really doesn't matter how I live because it's all under the blood. No, God doesn't show us His grace and His goodness for us to take advantage of it, if you will.
He does want us to be saved, and He does want to deliver us from the penalty of sin. But He doesn't want sin to have dominion over us. He no longer wants us to just be being controlled by our flesh and sinful nature. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. It says here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid." He says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life." Walk in newness of life. God's grace wants to produce a new lifestyle. There's no other way around that. We can't come to any other conclusion. God's grace wants to produce a new lifestyle or a new way of living in you. Number two, the flesh no longer has dominion over us. We have a new nature, a spiritual nature. Number two, the flesh no longer has dominion over us. We have a new nature, a spiritual nature. Let's read on in verse 5. Romans 6, verse 5. You got your Bible open? Can you read it for us if I asked you to? Romans 6 and verse 5. It says, "Therefore, if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man..." That's not talking about your father. It's your old sin nature. "That the old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from here on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." The Bible teaches us in those verses that the flesh no longer has dominion over us. Because we no longer have just a flesh nature, just that sinful nature. We now have a spiritual nature. If you've been saved, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And we have that. And we need to become partakers then of that divine nature, that spiritual nature. Third thing is this morning. We can choose who we yield to. We can choose who we yield to. Or you can say we can choose who we give control to. The Spirit or the flesh. Are we going to yield to the Spirit or the flesh? Are we going to give control to the Spirit or the flesh? Are we going to give control to the whole... You guys, the Spirit of God. God. The all-powerful God. The Spirit of God lives inside of you, and are we going to yield control inside to the Spirit of God, or are we just going to yield control, give control over to our flesh and our sinful nature? We can choose who we yield to. Let's read on to what it says in verse 11, Romans 6, 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members," in other words, your body, your eyes, your hands, your ears, your tongue, and so on, "as yield it as members, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." God says very clearly in there, Paul challenges us, you can choose who you yield to. Will we yield to the flesh, or will we yield to God? Will we yield to our sinful nature, or will we yield to the Spirit of God that lives inside of us? Fourth thing this morning is this. We must have yielded and consecrated hearts to serve God. We must have yielded and consecrated hearts to serve God, not ourselves. To please God and not ourselves. "In my flesh dwells no good thing," Paul goes on and says, chapter 7. Listen, I'm not going to try to please God in my flesh. That's not my flesh nature. My sin nature is not to please God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. My flesh nature is not going to try to please God. My flesh nature is not going to try to serve God. But with a yielded heart and consecrated heart, I can yield myself to be an instrument of righteousness unto God. I can yield myself to be a vessel of honor unto God. We must then have yielded hearts and consecrated hearts in order to please God and not our flesh. Let's read on there in verse 14. Look at it with me. Romans chapter 6, beginning there in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. Are we to be servants to sin? No, we're not to serve sin any longer. We're to serve the Spirit of God, serve God in our life. To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, sin doesn't have dominion over us anymore. Then be made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. I said these four things. God's grace wants to produce a new lifestyle. Number two, the flesh no longer has dominion over us because we have a new nature. We have a spiritual nature. The Spirit of God lives within us. Thirdly, we can choose who we yield to, who we give control to, whether we give control to the flesh or to the Spirit. And fourthly, we must have yielded and consecrated hearts to serve God, not ourselves, to please God, not ourselves. Is it easy? No. It's not easy. Will there be a struggle? Yes, there will be. For you, for me, for the Apostle Paul, there will be a struggle between the flesh nature and the spiritual nature. Paul speaks of that in chapter 7, the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. But through Christ, remember this, we're no longer condemned. Look what it says in Romans 8 and verse 1. Romans 8 and verse 1. Through Christ, we are no longer condemned by our sin. Through Christ, we are no longer condemned by our sin. It says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Through Christ, we're no longer condemned. Through Christ, we're set free from the guilt. We've been redeemed. We're set free from the guilt and the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 said this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John chapter 3, some of you know it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Goes on and says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hey, if we've been redeemed, if you've been saved, you've been set free from the guilt and penalty of sin. And in Christ, we are no longer under that condemnation. In Christ, we are no longer condemned for our sins. Thank God for that this morning. God's people were set free from bondage and slavery in Egypt. How foolish it would have been for them to go back. Well, don't you think that'd be silly? I mean, they're moaning and complaining because of the slavery in Egypt, and God sets them free. Wouldn't it be foolish to go back? How wrong that would be. How silly that would be to just go back into slavery when God had set them free. We've been set free from bondage and slavery to sin. And how foolish it is to go back. How foolish it is to go back. Look what the Bible says with me over in Galatians chapter number 5.
Galatians chapter 5 in your New Testament, a little bit further. Galatians chapter 5.
We're going to be done soon.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. I say this, don't go back to being a servant of sin. Don't go back to being a servant of sin. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1.
Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What a clear verse. Stand fast therefore. You've been set free. God's grace sets you free. You've been liberated. You have been set free. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer under the condemnation of sin. We're no longer under the penalty of sin. It doesn't have to have dominion over us. Don't go back. Why would we want to get tangled up in that mess again? Why would we want to get tangled up in the yoke of bondage again? He says, you've been set free. Don't go back to being a servant of sin.
Look with me just a couple more places and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and then we're going to go back to Romans 8 and conclude there. 1 Corinthians 15 first. Remember this, Christ defeated sin for us. And we can have the victory through Him. Christ defeated. Jesus Christ defeated sin for us. And we can have the victory through Him. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus already defeated sin. He already defeated it for us. And we can have the victory through Him. Now back to Romans 8, and that's where we'll conclude. Romans chapter 8. I want you to look at a few verses we didn't read earlier as well. Romans chapter 8. Through Christ, we're no longer condemned by our sin. We've been redeemed. We've been set free from the guilt and penalty of sin. Because of that, we should not go back. How foolish it would be to go back to being a servant of sin. Remember that Christ defeated sin for us, and we can have the victory through Him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What a great thing God did for us, sending His only begotten Son, who was perfect and sinless and holy. But He would come down and live among sinful men, and though He had never sinned, He had never done wrong, He took all of our sin upon Him and died on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, so we could be set free. What a great thing. Because Christ has delivered us from the penalty of sin, remember that we're debtors to Him. We are debtors to Him. We owe Him a debt. We owe it to Him to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Can you look at it that way this morning? Could you go away from here this morning realizing that, wow, what Christ has done for me and what He did so I could be delivered from the penalty of sin and the guilt of sin, and He doesn't want sin to have dominion over me anymore. Because of what He did, I owe a debt to Him. I owe a debt to Him. So the flesh was weak. The flesh couldn't keep the law because, you know what? No matter how hard you try, you're not going to keep all God's commandments. Our Jewish doctor knows there's 600 and some Jewish commandments. Hey, God's Word is filled with thousands of commandments, to be honest. It's more than just the Ten Commandments. And you know what? Our flesh can never keep the commandments. Our flesh can never obey God in all things and do right in all things because we have a sinful flesh nature. Thank God we've been set free. Thank God He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, because we would have no hope with Him. Because of what we've done, realize we're debtors to Him. Should we just go on and sin because of God's grace? God forbid. We're debtors to Him. That we would choose now to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Look what it says in Romans 8 and beginning in verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look down to verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You know what? We owe Him a great debt. Because of what He's done, we should walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,